Nick and I have been friends for many, many years and been work colleagues for a long time. But I have to say, nothing like listening to All Things Considered and hearing Nick take you home at the end of the day. And of course, Austin, who's establishing the 1 o'clock hour as a real signature of KPECC's weekday schedule. But so nice to have friends who give you the very latest news and focus on what's happening. And I know that for many of our listeners, you feel that way too, even if you've never met them. And that's the advantage of public radio, that sort of connection that we have. Nick Roman, All Things Considered, 4 o'clock this afternoon here on KPECC. We're talking about, during this time of spending more time at home, the emphasis that many Angelenos are putting into houseplants, or if they have yards, into landscaping. James in Encino, for example, called in and said, "I'm a landscape contractor. I'm honestly busier than ever because people are stuck at home. It's one of the bright spots in this challenging circumstance. I still have a job, and a lot of people are investing in their homes during the pandemic." James, I have heard from so many people who are contractors or landscape contractors like yourself who say just the very same thing. People are paying attention to their homes in ways they didn't previously. But if you have questions specifically about landscaping, particularly as temperatures are warming and we're getting longer periods of drought, or about houseplants, questions about care for particular plants you've got, or the types of plants that might fit depending on the amount of light or what part of Southern California your place is in, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is Danae Hurst, founder of the indoor plant store Folia Collective, which is in Eagle Rock in Northeast Los Angeles. She's also the author of Houseplants for All, How to Fill Any Home with Happy Plants. Danae, thank you very much for being with us. I understand that your business, even though the inside of the store is closed, has been booming during this time.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen a huge uptick, especially in people just buying plants. So even though they can't come in, we're only doing curbside pickup and local delivery, we've had a pretty bustling summer.
Well, and are there particular types of house plants that seem to be trending in popularity?
You know, I think it really runs the gamut. A lot of people are first-time plant people, so they're bringing in their first, you know, one or two house plants, and often those people are looking for things that are easy to care for or good for beginners. But we also have people that are avid plant collectors that are purchasing from us every week or multiple times a week sometimes, depending on what we have in stock, that are really just looking to add more and more variety to their plant collections.
Well, and I also wonder about the types of plant, you know, with outdoor landscaping, more and more people are looking at drought tolerant or native Southern California plants that don't need as much water, that do well in the climate. But I don't think of indoor plants because of the climate control and you can water them more easily as necessarily being the same. But are there particular types of plants that you think of as sort of Southern California-like indoor plants?
Well, I do think that because of the landscaping around us, and though they're not all native to Southern California, I think people associate cacti and succulents a lot with California. And so a lot of people try to keep a cactus or a succulent garden indoors. And as long as you have enough light, that's doable here because we get so much sunshine. They need to be near a window and they do best with some direct sun. But I do feel like that's kind of a more signature California plant. I definitely tried to keep succulents and cacti when I lived in Seattle and had terrible success there.
I can understand.
It's so
that.
Dark.
That's funny. By the way, yeah. Beautiful book that you've written, Houseplants for All. It even has different recipes for potting soil, potting mixes that people have that are included in the book. Again, we're 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with me is Leave O'Keefe, Senior Director of Communications at the California Native Plants Society. Leave, thank you for being with us.
Oh, and thank you.
Have you seen increased interest in people consulting with you on native plants given the stay-at-home orders?
Absolutely. It seems to be at an all-time high. I think people are really turning to nature as a source of solace right now. And, you know, the closest nature a lot of times is right outside our front door or back door. So, yeah, people are really interested in gardening right now.
All right. And what are some things people should keep in mind when sort of, you know, setting up their gardens, considering them? Because most people aren't going to hire a professional to do that. So what are the things for those of us that are amateurs that want to, you know, really make more of a statement with our yards? What should we do in that process?
Well, a few things. First of all, you can start small. You know, you don't have to do everything at once. And that's something we really encourage, is to enjoy the process of it all and start small. Maybe just pick a corner of your yard, you know, a sunny bed in the corner of your yard or an entry area, just one area that you want to work on and maybe change up. Another thing to know is that right now and through the winter in Southern California is planting season. Now is a great time to get California native plants in the ground. So if you've wanted to explore with California native plants, it's a great time to do it. So really getting those plants in the ground ahead of the winter rains or in conjunction with the winter rains really helps them get established and helps increase your chances of success with the plants.
My memory when we've talked about this subject before is that often those natives need a fair amount of water to get them established. We think of them as drought tolerant, but at least to get them going, they do need some water.
They do. And, you know, a lot of times that's something people don't realize is, you know, because they are very drought tolerant in a lot of cases, people will think, well, they don't need to be watered at all. But yeah, typically that first year, you want to water them about once a week, and you want to tend to do overhead watering, you know, either with just your hose, you know, and a spray nozzle, or with overhead sprinklers of some sort. That's what keeps them happiest, just about once a week until they get established. And of course, if it's raining, you don't need to do it, and Mother Nature will take care of it. So you kind of want to just think like Mother Nature, that's what we like to say, and try to mimic the rain patterns. But pretty much after that first year, you can start to, you know, back off the watering and see how they're doing. Maybe try going, you know, every 2 weeks down to every month, and then, you know, see how they're doing.
All right, we've got calls ready for our two guests. One is an expert on indoor plants, and you can ask her your houseplant questions. She is Danae Hurst of the Eagle Rock Indoor Plant Store Folia Collective. Also with us, Leave O'Keefe of the California Native Plant Society to talk about outdoor landscaping. 866-893-5722. We'll start off with Ginny and Claremont when we come back in 1 minute. Austin was just talking about what's on tap this afternoon, the 1 o'clock hour of All Things Considered. One of the things he'll be focused on is the Silverado fire burning in Orange County that started just before 7 this morning, cause unknown at this point, near Santiago Canyon, near Trabuco Canyon, and that is burning southwesterly, looking at one spot where it jumped the 241. And about 20,000 residences in Irvine have been evacuated, a number of schools as well, because of that fire, which is 2,000 acres, and no aerial water drops because of the high winds in that area. We're talking about indoor and outdoor flora. With us is Ginny in Claremont. Ginny, your question.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yeah, you are, Ginny. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm Judy, by the way.
Oh, Judy. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
So I started utilizing this time being home a lot to try to do my own little amateur landscape design in my front yard, which is mainly, it was drought tolerant, but now it just became really unmaintained. So I wanted to start cleaning up and planting. And I've been very diligent about watering my plants. And I noticed that they were dying around the yard. Well, yesterday, unbeknownst to me, when I went to plant another plant, the top was wet because I had been watering. But underneath, when I dug up the dirt, it was completely dry. So it occurred to me, well, no wonder these plants are dying. The water's not.
Yeah.
So what do I need to do? Do I need to fertilize? Do I need to do more steps?
All right, Judy. Leave O'Keefe, what should she do?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we do when we first put plants in the ground is create a basin around the plant. And that helps trap the water around it. You know, you want to have the crown of the plant a little bit above the ground, but then, about twice the width of the pot, have a basin around that plant. And, you know, that what I mean by that is sort of raising the soil up in a circle around the plant so that it kind of holds that water, because it could be that the water is running off. I don't know what the grade of your property is like, but it could be that the water is running off. It could also be that you might be doing what a lot of gardeners do. I know I've done this too sometimes, where I might just be like spraying with my hose or my sprinklers and not running it long enough. And so it like wets the surface, but it isn't having a chance to seep down. And especially on windy days, that can really happen. So you want to make sure that the water has a chance to run long enough that it's seeping in deeply, but that it's not running off and running off into your driveway and sidewalk and that sort of thing too. So it might be worth, if you have sprinklers, letting them run and watching what the water is doing, seeing if you have runoff or if it's actually soaking into the ground. And if you're seeing runoff, look at how you can help trap the water and focus it around your plants.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Judy, for your call. Let's see. We have Nick in Irvine wondering, is there a way to prevent pests from getting into indoor plants? Danae Hurst, what's your advice for that?
There can be. So pests do sometimes they're just part of having indoor plants. But proper care is the best way to keep pests at a minimum. So making sure that plants are watered properly, that you don't have standing water sitting in the bottom of pots or in the plates that go under the pots. Making sure you're checking thoroughly. Whenever you water your plants, it's a great time to check in with those plants and keep an eye out for pests. The earlier you catch pests, the easier it is to deal with them. And so really just being vigilant and making sure you're doing the best you can in terms of care are the best ways to sort of combat them.
Regina in Los Feliz says, I have a houseplant that always gets little bumps and stickiness on it. I try to wipe it off, but I haven't been very successful. How can I fix this? Danae?
That sounds like a pest called scale, and it doesn't really look like a bug to the naked eye, but it is an insect, and they suck sort of the sap, if you will, out of the plants, and that's what makes the sticky residue. The best way to treat scale is usually kind of a multi-pronged approach. You need to remove the ones that are on the plant and then treat with an insect control. There's a variety of insect controls on the market that can work on scale. Systemic insect control is usually the most effective. It's one you mix into the soil or you drench the soil with. It comes in liquid and granular form, and that will usually help deal with the scale. If the scale is very established on the plant, sometimes you really have a hard time saving the plant. But also keep in mind, any pests like that can spread to nearby plants. So if you see scale, you want to move it away from any other plants so that it doesn't spread.
Victor in Alhambra says, wants your opinion just real quickly on using fish emulsion oil and worm casting during the wintertime with his plants.
In indoor plants, you can do that. A lot of people, have kind of moved towards that form of fertilization. Just be aware that those types of methods can create, things like odor, and that can attract non-plant pests, so, flies or things like that. In the winter, it's usually not as big of an issue just because there aren't as many flies, but just be prepared that there may be some odors you didn't have before if those are the methods you're using.
Carmen in Monterey Hills says, I'm concerned about an area outside where I'd like to plant. Doesn't get much sun. It's on a slope. We're concerned about runoff and lack of sunlight. Would love recommendations. Leave O'Keefe, recommendations for Carmen for that area.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough area. I have some spots like that in my yard too. Well, I'm gonna recommend a website that we have in our organization that you can go to. It's called calscape.org, and you can go into the advanced search feature and set up your criteria. So low light, You know, you can set your moisture requirements. You can even have the slope requirements and search for plants that would be growing naturally native to your area that will thrive under those conditions. And it will help you find site-specific plants that will thrive there.
Okay. JSK says, I see tall bunch grasses all over. Many are volunteers. Should they be trimmed or cut to the ground when they get big and collapse around the edges? Leave?
I think that's really a matter of preference. Some people trim them down. Some people let them be.
Okay. And Rachel, for Danae, onslaught of gnats plaguing our houseplants. What can we do?
So gnats are usually attracted to overly moist soil. So the first thing to do would be to check and make sure you don't have any plants that are soggy. Gnats are also attracted to standing water. And so oftentimes, if people have a plant inside a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, there will be a layer of standing water at the bottom of that pot. And that's the ideal environment for fungus gnats to thrive. So the best thing to do is to use sticky traps to catch the adults. They're just little yellow things you stick in your plants. And then to let the soil dry out so that the larvae that's living in the soil can die.
All right. And Michael in the City of Orange says, I've definitely seen the houseplant boom during lockdown. I try to control the humidity in my house, but I've also noticed it gets really dry on windy days like today. And managing humidity is definitely a challenge, no question. We'll have to carry that over till we have Danae and Leave back on the program. Thank you both so much. That's Danae Hurst of Folia Collective, an Eagle Rock-based indoor plant store. She's also author of House Plants for All. And my thanks to Leave O'Keefe of the California Native Plant Society. Stay tuned throughout the course of the day. We'll have the very latest for you on Orange County's Silverado Fire, Austin Cross, and All Things Considered. Bring that to you at 1 o'clock. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is next. Have a good day.